Trinadapi sunichena turoriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama eva kivalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, hare hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, hare hare. In the last line of the verse, there is this word dosha, fault. And we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a very, very powerful verse, which is very, very significant for our Hare Krishna movement. Kaler dosha nide rajan, asti hi eko mahan guna, kirtanad eva krishnasya, mukta sangha parang vrajet. Shukadeva Goswami, wrapping up his instructions to Maharaj Parikshit, answering question after question after question, gives his analysis of this age that we are living in, this age of Kali, which is called the Iron Age, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And anyone who is on the internet, anyone who is conversant with the headlines all over the world, you see it day after day. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. Each day, you sort of get more and more bewildered how Kali Yuga, in terms of the material world, is just rushing on. And just when you thought you heard the epitome of degradation, the next day's headline blows your mind. You can't believe it. You want to get depressed? Just watch 10 minutes of the news. Guaranteed you're going to be depressed. So Shukadeva Goswami predicted this. Kaler dosha nide rajan, my dear king. Kali Yuga is an ocean of bad, faulty things. Just like in the ocean, wave after wave after wave. You can stand there till you die. The waves keep coming. Kali Yuga is an ocean of bad things. So it's not going to get any better in the material world. Kaler doshinide rajan asti hieko mahan guna. Bhat Shukadeva Goswami said, but there is one good thing you can say about Kali Yuga. One good thing. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. And thank you, Shukadeva Goswami, for using the word krishnasya. Because as we see, as time goes on, there is more and more different kinds of kirtan being introduced. But Shukadeva Goswami was very clear. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Certainly must. We'll take questions later. Must. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Kirtan of Krishna. Now, what is the result of taking to the kirtan of Krishna? Mukta sangha parang vrajet. That you will go back home, back to Godhead. As our founder Acharya, our loving spiritual master, said over and over again in lectures, in initiations, in initiation letters, chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, everybody. What is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So that's the Maha Mantra. And then, strictly follow the four regulative principles. The four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. If we simply can do this, then mukta sangha parang vrajet. You can go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. And those of us who are strictly following these tune commandments, you are seeing day by day how that is becoming a reality. You are seeing step by step how you are advancing nicely. You are seeing, yes, I have every reason to have full faith in what Srila Prabhupada told us. You see it. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Shanakshanayar uparamed buddhya driti grihitaya. Gradually, step by step, by means of intelligence. That is how you achieve samadhi. For us, samadhi means to be 24/7 engaged in devotional service. Practical samadhi. We achieve samadhi by being totally absorbed in service to Krishna. We chant, we hear, we worship, we pray, we preach, we cook, we clean. Everything we do is supposed to be an act of devotional service. And when we are fully engaged, 24/7, 365, throughout the whole life, then you are seeing how you are achieving that position of regaining, going back to Godhead. Over the past year, I've given quite a few classes and have answered quite a few questions on this topic, back to Godhead. How we regain our original position of devotional service. So many times I've been asked, and I've always answered the same way. And I checked just to make sure that we were with Krishna. And by misuse of independence, we have come to this material world. But if we completely surrender to Krishna, then we can regain. That word is used, regain. Or sometimes Prabhupada uses the word rejuvenate. Rejuvenate means something was alive, it was about to die, it got rejuvenated, came back to life. So our position of service to Krishna is always there. It's always there, always has been there. But by misuse of independence, we can give it up. Now Prabhupada is calling. There he is. Prabhupada is calling you. Come on. Resume, rejuvenate, regain your original position of loving active service to Krishna. What is the meaning of the Maha Mantra? O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. That is the whole game. What do we learn when Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 14, repeats a similar question that he had in chapter 2 about how to transcend the modes of nature. When Krishna answers, he says, Manchayo viabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate Sagunan samatityaitan brahma buyaya kalpate. That line, brahma buyaya kalpate, your spiritual status. What did Lord Chaitanya tell Sanatan Goswami? That at the time of initiation, Krishna accepts you as good as himself. I love that sentence. Whenever I remember that, I feel so good. So Krishna told Arjuna that if you engage bhakti yogina, if you can engage in the nine kinds, or just one, you just got to do one. All right, do two, three, do all of them. That's okay. But Lord Chaitanya says, but you've got to do the first two. Can't do the other seven unless you do the first two. Hearing and chanting about Krishna, about God. This devotional service, if it goes on uninterrupted, no interruptions, brahma buyaya, sagunan, you cross over the gunas, the ropes, the things that are binding you. These modes of nature, this is what is binding us. But you can cross over this, escape these, by this bhakti yoga. Here we are sitting here in this temple room. We are practically liberated. At least in the sense, you have every opportunity to be liberated right this second. It's simply a matter of willfully deciding, I will engage in service. So, Peter, you did so many Ramayana plays, right? A few dozen or so, right? So isn't there that famous line when Ravan says, I will carry off the consort of that insignificant man, right? He hears from Shurpanakha about Sita, and his lust becomes overwhelming, and he then wills, I will. He made that decision. We similarly should make a decision. I will surrender to Krishna. I will engage in devotional service. I have to at least do that much. I must make a decision. Yes. Therefore, I pick up my beads. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It is a conscious affirmation, a decision. I want to surrender to Krishna. Then, if Krishna allows, then Krishna, Radharani, the spiritual master, gives me some service. And when I get that service, that is my life and soul. My service that have been given to me, that's everything. Right now, my service is to speak about Krishna, glorify Krishna. That's my service. I must do my service. What's the first? There are six things which guarantee success. The first one, utsahan, enthusiasm. That's the first item. And I must be enthusiastic to chant 16 rounds. I must be enthusiastic to strictly follow the regulative principles. This utsahan, this enthusiasm, I must be enthusiastic to engage in whatever service is given to me by Guru Gauranga, Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before I take any questions, today is Mohini Akadashi. So I would like to read the two chapter summaries in the Bhagavatam, which deal with Mohini Murti, and then we can have Ishtagosti. I always like doing Ishtagosti in this temple. All right. So in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the ninth chapter, the Lord incarnates as Mohini Murti. Previously in Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a truce between the demons and the demigods. The demons had become very, very powerful, believe it or not, worshiping their guru. I always like to preach this, especially with a certain ethnic group. Even the demons have a guru. So don't tell me that you don't need a guru. Even the demons are smart enough to have a guru. Because you hear so many people, oh, I don't need. You do. So the demigods, on the other hand, offended Durvasa Muni, and they became weak. The demons worshiping their guru became strong. One reason why we do Guru Puja every day, to get strong in our devotional service. So, Lord Vishnu told the demigods, don't try to fight the demons right now. You're going to lose. They're too powerful. They have Brahman Tejas. Make a truce with them. And then Vishnu gave them the whole scheme. Churn the ocean of milk. The purpose being to get the elixir of immortality. So, the demigods and the demons, they met and the demons agreed to the proposal that they would churn the ocean of milk. Now, at a certain point, the Krishna comes in the form of Dhanvantari, the father of the Ayurveda. And he's carrying the jug of nectar. Now both the demigods and demons were working to churn the ocean of milk. When Dhanvantari came, the demons, because they're demons, snatched it, stole it. Now the demigod, oh my God. We've lost. Not so fast. So let's hear the chapter summary. The Lord incarnates as Mohini Murti. If you're ready to hear, say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
When the demons got possession of the container of nectar, an extraordinarily beautiful young woman appeared before them. All the demons became captivated by the young woman's beauty and became attached to her. Now, because the demons were fighting amongst themselves to possess the nectar, they selected this beautiful woman as a mediator to settle their quarrel. You know, human nature is always the same. Honor amongst thieves doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. They choose a woman to be the... No, I better not go there. That's all right. Taking advantage of their weakness in this regard, Mohini, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, got the demons to promise that whatever decision she might give, they would not refuse to accept it. When the demons made this promise, the beautiful woman, Mohini Murti, had the demigods and demons sit in different lines so that she could distribute the nectar. She knew that the demons were quite unfit to drink the nectar. Therefore, by cheating them, she distributed all the nectar to the demigods. When the demons saw this cheating of Mohini Murti, they remained silent. But one demon named Rahu, dressed himself like a demigod and sat down in the line of the demigods. He sat beside the sun and the moon. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead understood how Rahu was cheating, he immediately cut off the demon's head. Rahu, however, had already tasted the nectar, and therefore his head was severed. He remained alive. After the demigods finished drinking the nectar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead assumed his own form. One thing I remember in reading this previously, that the consort of Mohini Murti is Lakshmi, because Mohini Murti is actually Vishnu. Now there's one more chapter where we hear about Mohini. This is concerning Lord Shiva. If you want to hear, please say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
I love you. I love your utsahan. Your utsahan is so contagious that I think from last year till now, I was sustained in my devotional service by your utsahan. Therefore, I want to come every year to rejuvenate my battery. This chapter describes how Lord Shiva was bewildered upon seeing the beautiful Mohini Murti incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he later came to his senses. When Lord Shiva heard about the pastimes performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, can you all say it?
Hari.
In the form of an attractive woman, he mounted his bull and went to see the Lord. Accompanied by his wife Uma and his servants, the Bhutagana, or ghosts, he approached the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva offered obeisances to the Supreme Lord as the all-pervading Lord, the universal form, the supreme controller of creation, the Supersoul, the resting place for everyone, and the completely independent cause of all causes. Thus he offered prayers, giving truthful descriptions of the Lord. Then he expressed his desire. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is very kind to his devotees. Therefore, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, Lord Shiva, he expanded his energy and manifested himself in the form of a very beautiful and attractive woman. Upon seeing this form, even Lord Shiva was captivated. Later, by the grace of the Lord, he controlled himself. This demonstrates that by the power of the Lord's external energy, everyone is captivated by the form of woman in this material world. Again, however, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the influence of Maya, which immediately reminds me of Bhagavad Gita 7:14, where Krishna says, Daivihiyesha gunamayi momo maya duratyaya, insurmountable. Although in the Gita he uses the word very difficult, in other times, quoting that verse, he uses the word insurmountable. And there's only one way. Yes, we also have only one way. There's one religion that preaches one way. Well, I can also say that too, because Krishna is very clear here. Mam eva ye prapajante mayam etam tarantite. The only way to overcome the insurmountable material energy is to surrender to Krishna. No second option. Sorry. I can't make the Bhagavad Gita say something that it doesn't say. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Therefore, to fulfill the desire of his devotee Lord Shiva, He expanded his energy and manifested himself in the form of a very beautiful and attractive woman. Upon seeing this form, even Lord Shiva was captivated. Later, by the grace of the Lord, he controlled himself. This demonstrates that by the power of the Lord's external energy, everyone is captivated by the form of woman in this material world. Again, however, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the influence of Maya. This was evinced by Lord Shiva, the topmost devotee of the Lord, because there is that verse in 12th canto, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. First he was captivated, but later, by the grace of the Lord, he restrained himself. It is declared in this connection that only a pure devotee can restrain himself from the attractive feature of Maya. Otherwise, once a living entity is trapped by the external feature of Maya, he cannot overcome it. After Lord Shiva was graced by the Supreme Lord, he circumambulated the Lord along with his wife Bhavani and his companions, the ghosts. Then he left for his own abode. So, in the story here, one of the amazing things is that when Lord Shiva came to see Lord Madhusudan, he came with his wife, and he became bewildered in front of his wife. And when he was chasing Mohini Murti took him on a big tour, and many personalities in the universe saw, look at this Lord Shiva. He's chasing a naked woman. And even it was viewed by some saintly sages. So this incident is very amazing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jutakarma Prabhu, who I just saw on Sunday before coming here, gave me a quick history of this whole thing. And his thesis is actually here in the folio. Yes, you have folio?
Yes.
Okay, it's there. All right, so here's how I explain it. Okay? So the way I explain it, because I think he says there's like 5 or 6 different theories, so to speak, or opinions, okay? And his whole thesis is based on, but this is how Prabhupada answered the question. It wasn't that Prabhupada never answered it. He answered it definitively. So, we learn from Bhagavad Gita that we are eternal, yes? So that eternality means we were never born. We always were existing, okay? As an individual. Prabhupada many, many, many times says that we were with Krishna in an active role of service, not by any outside influence, but our own misuse of free will, the original sin. By misuse of free will, we want to imitate Krishna. What does that mean to imitate Krishna? I want to be the center of attention. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be the proprietor. And I want everyone to love me. I want So because, at least from what I see, when Prabhupada uses this term, one with God, it's not just merging. It's also this, that I want to experience this position of being the Supreme. Hiranyakashipu, what was his whole purpose of his austerities? He wanted to be the Supreme Person in the universe. It's the original sin. Adam and Eve, right? Satan told Eve the reason why God doesn't want you to eat this fruit is because you'll become equal to him. It's the same thing. And there's even one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada said, this whole thing of falling from the spiritual sky is nicely presented by Milton in Paradise Lost. And Paradise Lost is all about Adam and Eve, Satan, the whole thing. So, by misuse of free will, and this is explained in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter, verse 1. The first sinful desire of the living entity is to want to imitate God. Krishna's subsequent, in other words, it wasn't that Krishna made us. We made the first move. Now Krishna says, oh, this is what you want? That can't happen here. What you want is a dream. It can't exist. There is no second God. So Krishna creates a dreamland where the living entity can think that he's God. Welcome to Vancouver. Or Hollywood, or wherever you are. This material existence is a dream. We have never left the spiritual world, because you're going to find those quotes also. We're there. But we have been put into a dream state. Why? We want it. For me, now off the record, for me, this is the only thing that I will accept, because the other explanations that we were never in the spiritual world, we were always in the material world, that makes me an atheist. I'll tell you why. Because the material world is a prison. So you're telling me that I've always been a prisoner? What did I do that I should always be a prisoner? Then I hate God. But this explanation, thank you, Prabhupada, that we were with God, but I made no outside influence. It came from me. See, this is the difference. I have nobody to blame but myself. This explanation I like. Yes. And in Jhuta Karma's essay, that's one of his main, he quotes, and Prabhupada said it in a lecture also. Yes, Bhakti Devi Dasi. That's the question you should not ask. And here's why. Because you'll never be able to figure it out. Once you go back, if you still want to ask that question, you can. For instance, let's say all of a sudden, Peter stood up, fire, fire. We're going to do two things. Put it out, or if it's too late, run. Later, we'll ask, how did it start? First, save yourself. Okay? It's called misuse of independence. Prodigal son. Why would any normal person with a wealthy family become a hippie? Why?
Independent.
We keep in mind, we have all the qualities of Krishna to a minute degree. One of those is, like she just said, I want to be independent. And that's why it is inconceivable. You're never going to figure out why did I do that. Once you start thinking about that, then you're going to come to the point where, well, why should I go back? And yes, you could fall again. I'm sorry. Prabhupada says that. Now, generally, when I'm asked, Prabhu, okay, I was there, I fall, I go back, could I fall again? Many times in my answers to people, I say, Krishna says you don't come back. Do you believe Krishna? That's how, if I see somebody is really disturbed by this, then I tell them, look, Krishna says you don't come back. I believe Krishna. But Prabhupada does say you always have free will. You could. And then I give an example from my own life. When I was 5 years old, I took a pencil and stuck it into the wall socket. And my mother found me. Now, could I do that again? I could. Do you think I will? I don't think so. So I always say, Krishna says, more than once, you don't come back. I believe Krishna. I love Krishna. Krishna is cool. Krishna says you don't come back. Yes, Prabhu.
I know that Lord Chaitanya says that now is Satya Yuga.
Okay. What you're referring to is that within the horrible age of Kali, there is a grace period. Like on your credit card. Yes. But that's only for those who take to the Sankirtan movement. Because, trust me, I don't know about Canada, but in America, they're fried. They are. And it's getting, I'm telling you, because I watch the news, I keep myself abreast of what's going on. And it's like, by the end of the show, I'm like, oh man, I'm glad I'm a devotee. I don't know how these people could live out there. It is hell. Just hell. It's just getting murders. And this one boy in Florida, black boy, gets shot by somebody who, you know, thought he wasn't aggressive. It's so crazy. In this, don't go to Florida, folks. They have a law which states that if I think that you're aggressing me, I'm going to shoot you. And I don't get arrested. What a crazy, I mean, stay in Canada. All right, any other topics to discuss? Yes.
Translated quite early on in his career.
Yes.
There is a chapter where Srila Prabhupada speaks about nitya bhadas and nitya siddhas.
Yes.
So nitya siddhas, my understanding is the Prabhupada's verse, nitya siddhas are spirit souls who never, ever fall. They never even think of misusing my independence. But nitya bhadas, Srila Prabhupada says, they have a tendency to look at Maya. The tendency is there, and the tendency is always there. Whereas the nitya siddhas, they never experience that tendency. They have no, they're very happy with their, so, you know.
Can you translate the terms for those who are not familiar with Sanskrit?
So, nitya siddha means eternally liberated. So, there's one group of entities, they never, ever want to leave Krishna. They don't even think about leaving. And then nitya bhada, I don't know what bhada means.
Eternally bound. Eternally liberated, eternally bound.
So nitya bhada means eternally bound. Now that's an interesting thing. Eternally bound. One is eternally liberated and one is eternally bound.
There's an explanation.
But, but of course, we have that opportunity by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and by the grace of whoever your guru is, that we can again be reinstated. The Prabhupada uses that language many times to become reinstated within Krishna's good graces. So like Naratha Prabhu would say, and Prabhupada also, he talks about the analogy, if you're in the middle of the road and there's a big truck coming down on you or a vehicle, you're not asking, how did I get here? No, you have to get out of the way of the big truck, otherwise you're going to be smashed. So he gave a very nice analogy about the fire. So it's not really this discussion of this or are we this is not at all important. The most important thing is to somehow grab onto the lotus feet of the Paramahamsa pure devotee, which in our Sangha, Srila Prabhupada, and to hold on with dear life and simply follow his instructions. If we follow his instructions, then we will attain perfection. Very soon, we will be embraced by Krishna.
Can I comment on your comment? In Prabhupada's explanation of Nityabhada means that you have been conditioned in this material world so long, you cannot trace out when it began. And number two, when the Nitya Bhada goes back home, back to Godhead, he is now called Nitya Siddha. And I like to always tell a joke. It's not that in the spiritual world they're saying, oh, you see that guy? He once fell down. We're not going to... They don't have that kind of mood in the spiritual world. All right, it's 8:30. Oh! Yes, 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 yes.
This is the analogy. It says that everybody who skips spirituality is like silver, but we are like, what do you call that silver? That is just on the top. That is the analogy Prabhupada used. We are like it looks like a silver box because the outside is silver.
Uh-huh.
Can you call that phrase again?
Plating.
Yeah, plating. We are like plated gold, and everybody is like gold.
Solid.
Yes. Very okay. Yes. Any other discussion? Jai Govinda Prabhu. Please forgive my offenses. If I caused any disturbance, I beg forgiveness. We had up to about 20 devotees on the internet. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindubhyai bhaccha patitanang pavanevyo. I do have one more announcement, and you need to hear. So Jai Govinda Prabhu said that he would like me for the rest of the week to do a Bhagavatam seminar. Tomorrow, morning and evening, I will do class morning and evening on Rukmini, since it's Rukmini Dwadasi.
Oh, yeah.
Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Nisringa. Is that all right, Prabhu?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, so tomorrow... What? Yeah, You said tomorrow there's an evening class?
Yes.
All right, so tomorrow morning, Bhagavatam on Rukmini. Tomorrow night, Krishna book with Rukmini. All right? Tonight, Bhakti Devi, tell us about tonight.